Right. Good morning, everyone. Today is the last day of the sixth parak of Menachos dealt with the Omer. We've been covering topics of the Omer, the Ketiras Omer, Halacha Omer. We're going to finish up today, hopefully. The sixth parak of Menachos. I may mention this once before. The sixth parak is not really the sixth parak. You know that.
Right.
It's the tenth parak. Okay.
Well, because of the familiar ones.
In the Mishnayos, when the Mishnayos put the parakim together, so. It's not the sixth, it's the tenth parak. It happens. It happens every now and then that parakim get mixed around when transferred from the Mishnah to the Talmud edition. I don't have an explanation. I don't know. Okay, something happened, but I don't know. Okay, today's daf Ayin Beis is a lot about alignment. Okay, right. It's going to be a lot of trying to fit Tanaim one into another. So it's a little bit of a puzzle today. We'll work our way through it. Hopefully, I'll do a decent job explaining it. I guess you'll be the judge. We start on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, and we are at the two dots. Kotzel l'shachos amachal behema. Let's just quickly review the Mishnah. Just the Mishnah. Just to understand what's going on. There's a prohibition of doing katsira prior to the omer. We're just harvesting, not eating. Eating, obviously, it's its own separate issue. You're not allowed to eat it, of course, because it's chadash. Any grains that grew over the course of this year prior to the second day of Pesach is asur. You're prohibited from eating it. The issur is called the issur chadash. We talked about that over the course of the sixth parak of Menachos. Okay, but aside from that, put that aside. Aside from that, there's also an issur of katsira. You're not allowed to harvest as well. And then the Mishnah, 9 Aleph, gave us a whole bunch of dispensations. There are times when Katsira is acceptable. Okay, now, a big topic for today is going to be the Mishnah's heter to be kotzel l'shachas. You can harvest if you're going to harvest for feeding your animals. Now, I'm going to review the Mishnah just quickly because it's important to spend a lot of time on these points in the Mishnah. The members of Yericho, I did Kitzira, that was okay, but Gedisha was not okay. Okay. Kotzel l'shachas. I'm just reviewing this point in the Mishnah. L'machal l'behema. So, if you want to be kotzel l'shachas, now shachas is a Mishnah way of referring to grain, and usually when we say shachas, it means it has not yet gone to a shlish. It is not yet a third ripened. So it's the really early stages of the developmental growth. It's way past Hashrasha. Hashrasha is a point where it just simply takes root in the ground. We're way past that, but we are at a really early developmental stage. People generally don't eat the grains at this point in time. The grains are not yet ripened, but what happens is that it's harvested and given to animals as animal feed. So kotzel l'shachas machal behema am Rav Yehuda emasai. Now Rav Yehuda says, when is that the case? Now as we're going to learn later this morning, when Rav Yehuda says the word emasai, that's a trigger word, and that means I'm not arguing with the Tanakhama, I'm explaining the Tanakhama. Okay? Emasai is a perish. It's not a point of dissension. It's not a challenge. Emasai b'zman shemaschal ashemaschal ashelohi vishlish. That's only when the grains are not yet a third ripened. So that's what the Tanakhama means, meaning Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda are one and the same person. Okay, it's an important point because as you'll see later on, the Gemara will, for a moment, think otherwise, but that's an important point. So right now, that's Rav Yehuda's position. You can harvest as long as the grains are not yet a third ripened. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yiksov Yachal Af Mishay Vishlishim. Rabbi Shimon takes a bigger dispensation that you can harvest for your animals even if it is over a third ripened. Okay, and that's a big heter because basically what he's saying is, look, I know you're not allowed to harvest and it's before the Omer, but if you're going to feed it to your animal, even though it's consumable by humans, if your intent is to feed it to your animals, you're good, you're fine, you're good to go. Okay, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon back in the Mishnah. Okay, that is just a review. Let's pick it up now. This is a Mishnah in Peah, what we're about to learn. The mitzvah of Peah, you got to give a corner of your field and mark it off for the poor people to come into your field and take from the field. Torah doesn't give an amount. Elu dvarim she'ein lahem shir. There are certain things that just simply don't have amount. This is one of them. This is a thing that there's no amount in terms of how much of the corner of your field. Chachamim did give an aspect ratio of how much you should give, but min haTorah there's no set amount. There's a mitzvah of peah to just give a corner of your field. Okay. What if you have fields that are not contiguous one with another? Obviously, you have to give two corners. Corner over here, corner over here. What if you have contiguous fields, but the there is a natural border dividing the two fields? So that's what we're going to learn about right now. The Mishnah Peah is basically going to say, if the border is a real border, okay, not a fake border, you'll see what that means in a moment. If the border is a real border separating my two fields, even though they're my fields and even though they're contiguous, but if there's a natural border separating the two, I need to take Peah over here and Peah over here on the two fields. Okay, that's the Mishnah in Peah. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Tanan Hasam. I don't know. By Sukkah we talked about it around Sukkah. I don't know. I hear you. Tanan Hasam, Mishnah in Peah. Elam Afsikin La Peah. So these are the things that are going to create a natural border between two fields, and therefore require two corners to be taken off from the two fields. Hanachal, if you have a river running through the two fields. Okay, natural border. Shlulis. Okay, if you live in Israel, you already know what the word shlulis means. If you don't, shlulis, it basically is a drain, some sort of drainage of water, meaning water runs down and basically I have a natural drain that separates the two fields. Derech hayachid, derech harabim. Private road, public road. Rashi says the difference between the two is just simply the width of the road. A derech hayachid, a private road, says Rashi, is 4 amos. A public road is 16 amos, as we know by Rishus HaRabim regarding Shabbos. Ushvil HaRabim, Ushvil HaYachid, a path. Path for the public, path for the individual. HaKavu B'yamos HaChamim, B'yamos HaKshamim. But the path has to be year-round, meaning it has to be that this path is used both in the winter and in the summer, even in the winter months, even though the roads are usually more difficult to traverse because that is the rainy season. It's got to be a path that's used year-round. If it's not a path that's used year-round, that does not create a border between these two fields. Habor, if you have a pit between these two fields, that for sure creates a natural border between them. Hanir, if I plow between the two fields, that also creates a natural border. Vizera acher, if I have another grain that I'm planting in between, that other grain is going to create a natural border. Rashi gives the example. Let's say I plant on two ends of the field wheat, and in the middle I plant a row of adashim, of lentils, and let's assume that I create enough separation between the two so I don't avoid the issue of kalayim. So again, that's going to create a border between the two contiguous fields. It's going to make it that they're not contiguous fields, and therefore there's a mitzvah peah on each of them. And then the Mishnah Peah says, and this is the reason why we're learning the Mishnah Peah for this next halacha, the kotzer l'shachas mafsik. What if I harvest the middle row in order to feed my animals? Says Rebbe Meir in the Mishnah Peah, that creates a separation. Right, that's a hafsaka. The chachamim or remain mafsik, ela im kain charash. And the chachamim say, what do you, no, that's not going to separate the two fields just because you harvested it for your animals. That of course is not going to separate the two fields. If you plow, that'll separate the two fields, but just harvesting grains, even though you harvested it at an immature stage of development, is not going to separate the two fields. Okay. Yes.
There's no shear. What's the big deal? Fine, I got to pay here and over there.
Correct. Meaning, it's not a big. You're not gonna. It's a zero game.
Increases your percentage of what you're giving it.
Because it will
more
right
corners.
Right. It will be more, but it's just going to be more field, more corners on each field.
More corners, but total.
Total will be the same. Total will be the same. Agreed. Agreed. But just so you should know. In other words, you can't look at that now as one large field. In other words, you will be, if you only make a corner over here, you will be missing the mitzvah of peah over here.
That's you also can't give excess peah because you're denying too much.
Correct. That's also right. That's also a reasonable point. Okay. Focus all your attention now on Reb Meir, because what Reb Meir has basically said is that once I harvest for animals, So Reb Meir says that's not harvesting. Right? You hear it? And that's really where all of our attention needs to be focused on right now, is on the opinion of Reb Meir. Harvesting in the middle of two fields, and I'm harvesting it for animals, that's not considered harvesting. Ergo, this field and this field are now separated one from another. If it was considered harvesting, so how in the world can I say I've separated the fields? No, I haven't. I started the harvest process, meaning I just happened to have started in the middle. So, in other words, let's take a simple example. Let's say I'm actually harvesting, right? Forget animals. Let's say I'm actually harvesting. It certainly will make no difference in the mitzvah of Peah where I start harvesting. Meaning, if I start harvesting in the middle, oh, look, two fields now. Of course it's not two fields. I just started harvesting in the middle. So what you see from Reb Meir is that HaKotza L'Shachas, that once I harvested at an immature stage, and I'm harvesting for my animals, that's not considered harvesting. It's not, and therefore, it's going to separate the two fields and make two distinct fields. Good. Okay, so that's the Mishnah and Peah, and that's certainly the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Now, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to align. Okay, I told you, a big part of today, you'll see, even though when we get to Ayin Beis, it's going to be a new topic, but it's a lot of alignment today. Just a lot of alignment. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Meir B'shitas Rabbi Shimon Amra. Okay, I'm going to say, okay, this is a Chiddush by Rav Yochanan. I'm going to say that we could take Rav Meir from the Mishnah Peah and basically align him with Rabbi Shimon from the Mishnah Menachos. Okay? To Amar Yitzav Yecha Af Mishav Yashlish. Because what does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah says that if you're harvesting for animals, even after the grain is a third developed, that's not Katsira. And therefore you're allowed to do that even before the Omer. So I'm going to take Rabbi Meir and align him with Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah here in Menachos.
Rabbi Meir didn't give a size though.
Okay. Perfect. Hold. Alma Kasever Kola Shachas Lav Katsirahi. Okay, that is a chiddush of Rav Yochanan, that Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon are really one and the same. Okay, good point. Gemara is going to get to it. Yosef Rabba Bekamel HaShmaisa. So Rabba now, Rabba's a generation later, so Rabba's sitting down and he's going over this and he's trying to think about this this Rav Yochanan's alignment. So Eisei Rav Acha Bar Avuna LaRava, so the Amoraim Rav Acha Bar Avuna says to Rabba, consider the following. A Tosefta of Peah. Okay, we'll call it a Brisa. The Gemara is going to call it a Brisa. It happens to be a Tosefta. I know that because I know Tosefta is like the back of my hand. No. I know that because the margin on the side says it's a Tosefta. Okay. Tricks of the trade. So, Achla Chagav, Karsama Nemalim, Shavrasuhu Haruach, Hakomodim, Charish Mafsik, Lo Charish and a Mafsik. Okay, natural disaster. I have a field. And it happens to be that along come locusts and chew out the middle row. Or along comes ants and chew out the middle row. Or along comes a wind and blows out the middle row. Okay. Everybody agrees. Hakol modim, says the Braisa, that the only thing that will divide the two parts of the land is only if I plow between the two. Meaning a natural disaster, like an invasion of ants, or the wind blowing, and it only decimates that middle of the field, is not going to separate the two parts of the field. Now, even before analysis, you understand, right? It's not meaning you have not really done anything to the field itself. Yes, it's true. From a visual perspective, it looks separated one from another, but you have not physically altered the center of the field. You have not plowed the center of the field, and therefore the field is not divided. Only if you plow the middle of the field, then and only then, are the fields are going to be viewed as two separate fields. Okay. That is a Tosefta. Hakol modim cheresh mafsik, lo cheresh ein mafsik. Hakol modim man Rabbi Meir. Now, when the Braisa says hakol modim, obviously what the Braisa means to include is Rabbi Meir. Meaning, because we learned the Mishnah and Peah, and the only one who talks about just harvesting the field by itself creates separation. The only one who talks in those terms is Rabbi Meir. So clearly the point over here is that this Hakomodim is coming to include even Rebbe Meir. Okay. Now, put everything together. E amart bishlama masnishim bishlohevi ashlish, braisa decharash in lo charash lo, bishahevi shlish. So look, what you have to do is you have to put everything together. Meaning, you got to consider the braisa and you got to consider the Mishnah. Now, as Ben pointed out quite accurately, the Mishnah does not talk about at what developmental stage the grain is at. So I'll say it like this. It makes a lot of sense that the Mishnah is lohevi shlish, that the Mishnah is talking about a really early developmental stage, meaning it hasn't even reached the third yet. The only consumer of these grains are going to be the animals. Okay. Then I understand Rav Meir of the Mishnah and Peah, because what Rav Meir is saying is that's not harvesting, meaning it's not consumable by humans. It's right. It's not. That's simply not harvesting. That's not considered harvesting. And yes, that's going to divide the two fields into two separate fields. And the Braisa that says that Hakomodim, everyone agrees that you need to plow the field, that's going to be talking about a case where it has already gained to the point of shlish, where it's already a third developed. And now, that is called harvesting. And so, obviously, it's not going to divide the two fields, because as I described earlier, that's just simply, you just started the harvesting process. Now, it's true, you didn't start the harvesting process. It's true, along came a wave of locusts, but the point is essentially still the same. We're talking about grains that are harvestable. Again, my new word of the day. We're talking about grains that are harvestable, that are consumable by humans, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, even though you didn't start the process, but still, the harvest process has begun, and the two fields are not separated. You want to separate the two fields, so the Braisa says plow between the two. Obviously, you don't want to, but if you're going to consider them separate, you got to plow between the two. That's a great way of understanding the Mishnah and Peah and the Braisa that we just learned about the locusts. And then, if that's the correct way to understand it, so then, Rav Yochanan, you are not right. Respectfully, I say that. But I'm not saying that. That's essentially what the Gemara is saying. Rav Yochanan, you're not right. You wanted to take Rav Meir and align him with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is a supreme Chiddush. Rabbi Shimon says even when the grains are at a third, over a third ripened, Rabbi Shimon says that's still not harvesting because I'm cutting it for the animals. Right? You can't take Rav Meir and align them with Rabbi Shimon. Now, what are you going to tell me? That the Mishnah is Hevi Shlish, but the Mishnah in Peah is talking about where the grains are over a third ripened? Hashtama Hasam Dikitsira Amra Meriloshma Ksira Hachalo Kol Shekain? Can't be. Can't possibly be. Because if it's a third ripened, over a third ripened,
you cut it.
Right? And if you cut it, that's Kitsira. I'm sorry. If the animals cut it, it's Kitsira. If you cut it, it's not Kitsira. Of course it's going to be Kitsira. Over a third ripened, according to Rav Meir, and you cut it, that's called Kitsira. No way, shape, or form is the two fields going to be divided when you cut it, because that's simply part the beginning of the harvesting. Okay. So, scratch it. We're not, right, Rav Yochanan tried to align Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon, but you understand the two are radically different. Rabbi Shimon is saying that even when it's over a third ripened and you cut it for animals, that's not Kitsira. That's a Chiddush in Rabbi Shimon, and don't put Rav Meir in that camp. Because Rav Meir is only talking about, he says harvesting divides the two fields. Obviously, his position is that harvesting is not harvesting. That's only when it's not a third developed, according to Rav Meir. So don't put Rav Meir in the Rabbi Shimon camp. Allah, Rav Meir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amra. So what we'll do is we'll put Rabbi Meir in the Rabbi Yehuda camp. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah Menachos. Okay. So we'll put Rabbi Meir together with Rabbi Yehuda. That's better. That's a lot better. Because now they are basically agreeing that if grain has not yet been third ripened and you cut it, you're not, that's not harvesting. That's just cutting it for the animals. And our Mishnah Menachos says you could do that before the Omer because it's not Katsira. And the Mishnah and Peah, which is Rebbe Meir, says that it will divide the two fields because it's not harvesting. And so therefore the two fields are not going to be viewed as one contiguous field, but rather two separate and distinct fields. Good. So the Gemara says, even in our Mishnah, that's Rabbi Yehuda saying that if I cut it for animals, then that's not Katsira, then you're allowed to do that before the Omer. But La'ad Mishamaslay, but let's say you cut it for the sake of human beings. Is Rabbi Yehuda even going to go to that degree and say that that's not harvesting? Now, if that would be the case, our Mishnah would result in three opinions. Meaning, because at this point in time, the Gemara says, we can't possibly entertain that. With the first statement, Kotz L'Shachas Machel L'Behema, that's opinion number one. And then I'm Rabbi Yehuda Emesai Bizman Shemaskal Shalom Hevi Shlish, that's opinion number two. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Yitzel V'Yachal Af Mishah Hevi Shlish, that's opinion number three. The Gemara says, you can't say that. And the reason why you can't say that, as I explained back in the Mishnah, is because when you have the word Rabbi Yehuda saying the words Amasai, that's an explanation, that's not a point of dissension. So Rabbi Yehuda is really coming to explain. Okay, so now it comes out now that Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah Menachos, when is harvesting not harvesting? Only when you cut it. A, when it's under a third ripened, and B, only when you cut it for animals. Then Rabbi Yehuda says that's not harvesting. But that may not be Rabbi Meir. Meaning Rabbi Meir, his only point is as long as it's under a third, it's not, even if you're going to cut for human beings, that's not harvesting. So our exercise this morning of trying to align Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah and Peah, it's certainly not like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon is a big chiddush. Even after it's a third ripened, it's not going to be considered harvesting. Rabbi Meir doesn't subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, but we're also going to point out that Rabbi Meir doesn't subscribe exactly with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So, and we're out of Tanas. Right? We're done. Right? We have Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so we have no more choices. So obviously we're gonna have to go somewhere else. Have a class of tonight. Elakias Rabdimi Amar Rab Meir Bishitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amar. All right, so here we'll do it like this. Yeah, this will make a lot of sense. Rabbi Meir holds like his Rabbi, and why not? And Rabbi Meir's Rabbi was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had thousands and thousands of talmidim. Unfortunately, they all died. You're getting to Lag Bomer. Rabbi Akiva started with five new talmidim after his 24,000 students died. And one of the five is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir goes like his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. Amar afla adam name lo havye kitsira. Rabbi Akiva says that harvesting before a third is not harvesting, even if you plan on cutting it for people. Ditnan. How do I know that? Mishnah in Peah. Hamenamer sada. You make your field look like a leopard, right? Namer. Namer is a leopard. Right?
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
Yes.
Amenamer sadeh visharibo klachim lachim. And you leave out, and you leave on your field some klachim lachim, stalks that are wet, moist, right, still developing. Rabbi Kiva omer pealacho echad ve'echad. So now Rabbi Kiva says, each spot on the field that has gone unharvested needs its own peah. Meaning your harvesting of the field is separating each one into its own. So the Chachamim omrim me'echad al kol. And the Chachamim said, what are you talking about? Echad al kol. One corner for everybody. Because according to the Chachamim, you just started the harvesting process. That's all you did. And the field is not divided. It's still one field. It just happens to be that you started the harvesting process. The Amr of Yudam Rishmo lo chayv Rabbi Akiva. Now,
Even for a human being, if you're harvesting less than a third of a human being, it's still harvesting.
Okay, wait. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, lo chai Rabbi Akiva ela b'menamer leklayos, aval b'menamer leotzer lo. So the Gemara says, quotes in the name of Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, who says that each patch now of unharvested grains is considered its own independent patch. Which means that according to Rabbi Akiva, the part that you harvest is not considered harvesting. Okay? So, Shmuel, in his understanding of Rabbi Akiva, says that's only if you're menamel klayos. Klayos means at an early stage, before shlish. But if you're menamel otsar, however, if it's already ripened, lo. Rabbi Akiva is not going to argue with the Chachamim. If it's over a third ripened, it's harvesting.
It
doesn't divide the field. Okay. So far, so good. Right? Yeah. So in other words, we could pause right here. So in other words, now we have it. Rav Meir, who is he following? Following his Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, according to Shmuel's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, says that any time that you harvest grain and it's under a third developed, so, and it doesn't matter who the consumer is going to be, that's simply not harvesting. It's not harvesting. And so therefore, it will divide a field. And each leftover field is going to require its own mitzvah peah. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. That is Rabbi Meir, his student's opinion as well. Good. So, in terms of trying to place Rabbi Meir together with any kind of our Mishnah Menachos, it was a nice attempt, but the Gemara did not go for it. The Gemara did not go with Rabbi Meir going like Rabbi Shimon, nor like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, and there is no Tanakhama of our Mishnah, meaning Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama are one and the same. So no. How? And the only thing left is that we do have a Mishnah expressing the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Perfect. Rabbi Meir goes like Rabbi Akiva. Any one more point on this issue. The Hakiyasa Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan Mechayev Haya Rabbi Akiva Af B'Menamer La'otzar. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Akiva takes a more extreme view, that Rabbi Akiva says that even if you make patchwork out of your field, and even if you harvest it after it's a third developed, Rabbi Akiva says the field is considered separate one from another. So if that's the correct understanding of Rabbi Akiva, so then that Rabbi Meir doesn't fit into Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara answers very simply,
but this goes against that other Mishnah that you've heard of Akiva in terms of, you know, he's not considered, you know, what is ever harvesting, no?
I haven't worked everything out, but it would be, this understanding of Rabbi Akiva would be a tremendous chiddush, meaning because now what we're saying is that even though it's over a third developed, it's not considered harvesting. It's a big chiddush. And then the Gemara answers very simply, so then we'll say that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Akiva on one point, which is that if it's under a third developed, I don't care who the consumer is. It's not harvesting. On that, Rabbi Meir says, I agree with my Rabbi Akiva. But then Rabbi Akiva goes one step further, which I don't go, which is that even if you harvest it over a third, it's not harvesting, and I don't agree with him on that point. Okay. And then Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon would align?
Yeah, that's what he just said. No, it's over there.
Yeah, it's like Rabbi Shimon's also true with Rabbi
Akiva. Right. Oh, okay. Right. Actually, later this morning, we'll talk about Rabbi being a student of Rabbi Shimon. Okay.
What does Rabbi Yehuda say when you say Emusan? Isn't
explained? That's Rabbi Yehuda explaining. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying that, but Rabbi Yehuda is making two points. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it has to go to your animal and it has to be under a third.
Right.
Like two points. Rabbi Meir only needs one requirement, that it has to be under a third. So that's why we can't put Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the same boat.
But that's what explaining Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda is not explaining
Meir. No, Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining the Tanakhama.
Right.
And the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Meir.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, la'otzer means what? The storage?
Storage.
So maybe it's the function that determines whether it's...
I would have said that also. It's the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos both do not agree with that, but you could have said that, but the
you probably can't align Rabbi Shimon with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Shimon basically says it's at least a third grown, you can even do it.
Right, 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 could be. Could be. It could be that Rabbi Shimon goes all the way to Rabbi Akiva's camp. Okay. Kosar Mimneh, it's Netiyos Mimneh Beis Alva, Mimneh Beis HaMedrash. You could do Ketzira if it's a mitzvah. Right? That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Even though there's an Isser to do Ketzira before the Omer, you can't harvest before the Omer, but if there's a mitzvah opportunity, by doing the Ketzira, so you could do the Ketzira. So the Mishnah gave two examples. For example, says the Mishnah, the Avil needs a place to sit. There is a, after he comes home from the cemetery, so there's something, there's a meal that he eats out in the street. Other people feed him. We call that the Sudas Havra. The Mishnah, the Gemara Ksuvos, Daf Ches, Rashi quoted it, says that there's a special bracha that you say for the Suda as well. And it's done out in the street. If there's no room, and we need to go out to the field, but the field has plenty of grain on it, so you can harvest in order to make room.
But okay. It's done in the hall.
Yeah, correct. No, right. It's modified version of how it was once upon a time done. Another example says the Mishnah, big day in the base medrash, and we need more room. So we go out to the field, but the field's got grains on it, so you can harvest as well in order to make room for so people could learn. Okay? So if it's a mitzvah opportunity, so then you're allowed to do it. Says the Gemara, my taima, kitzir chem, amar rachmana, velo kitzir mitzvah. Right? The only prohibition is kitzir chem. If you're harvesting for your own personal use, that you're not allowed to do. Then reishis kitzirchem. But if it's not for your own personal use, but you're doing it for a mitzvah, so that you're allowed to do. V'lo yaseh krichos. Ava manichim tzavsai maitam etekam devshalo tarchinan. Meaning, but even when you harvest, you can't bundle, you can't tie up the grains that you harvested. So the Gemara gives a very simple svara, which is tircha yasera. Meaning, we don't want you to be too involved with the grains. You do have a heter, you do have allowance to harvest, but that's it. In other words, after that, to then tie up the bundles and...
Bundles,
right. The Gemara puts it into terms of tircha. If I may guess, it's not so much a function of tircha as it is, once you start working more with the grains, you may come to eat it. Okay. Mitzvah ha'omer lahavi min hakamatan rabbanin im takriv minchas bikurim. Again, we go back to Perek Beis of Vayikra. So as I mentioned already a number of times, the Kathri Pesukim at the end of Perek Beis talks about the Minchas HaOmer. The majority of Perek Beis of Vayikra talks about the voluntary Menachos. And then at the tail end of the Perek, it says, Im Takriv Minchas Bikurim. You're going to bring your first Mincha. And we know, based on Torah Shabbal Peh, that that's talking about the Minchas HaOmer. So the Gemara is going to darshan the word im takrim, and the Gemara is going to darshan a number of times. Matzah malam lefisha mitzvah malam lahavi minakama minayin shim lo matzah minakama yavi min ha'amarim. Now the mitzvah is mitzvah minimum of course to bring the minchas ha'omer from wheat which is standing, meaning still connected to the ground, and that means that the night before you're going to go out and you're going to harvest that wheat. That's the best. What if there's no wheat standing? So but there's wheat that's already been pre-cut. All right, go get that. Tamalama takriv. Davar acher takriv lefisha mitzvah lahavim min alach. Minayin shim lo matzah min alach yavim min yavish. Now, Carmel teaches us that it's got to be fresh and moist. What if I don't have it? What if I just have dried barley? Tamalama takriv. Davar acher, another drasha. Takriv lefisha mitzvah so liksor balayla. Minayin shim niksor bayom kasher. Tamalama takriv. Vidoches Shabbos tamalama takriv. Takriv koshu takriv mikomakom. Takriv. V'afilu b'Shabbos takriv v'afilu b'tumah. Okay, I know this sounds like we're violating the rule that you can only have one drasha per word. And here the Gemara just made about a half a dozen drashas. But really, right, it's all one drasha. It's really all one drasha. The Torah is telling you takriv, meaning even there are, so to say, best circumstances, but really, under any circumstance, takriv. Even if you don't have it standing, even if it's dry, even if you didn't harvest it last night, which you should have, even if it's betuma, even if it's b'Shabbos, meaning takriv, or bring it. Just, I don't want to hear excuses. Just bring it. Okay, nitzar biyom kasher. All right. In our Mishnah, we learned that really the best time to harvest, the correct time to harvest, is the night prior. You go on a Matzah Yantif of the first day of Pesach. So you go, that night you go out, Beis Din goes out, three people, three sickles, right, like we learned earlier in the Perek, and they harvest. And the nighttime is the right time to harvest. But the Mishnah teaches us, it's the end of the Mishnah, that if you didn't harvest it at night, so you do it the next day. Hatanan. However, there is a Mishnah in Megillah. And the Mishnah in Megillah seems to totally contradict our Mishnah in Menachos. The Mishnah in Megillah says, here are the mitzvahs that you do during the daytime. And then the Mishnah gives a whole list of mitzvahs that are done during the daytime. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, and here are the mitzvahs that are done at night. And the Mishnah gives a very short list of mitzvahs that are done at night. Notably, the mitzvah of Tzeiras HaOmer and the burning of the fats and the lamps. Zeh HaKlal. Davish HaMitzvah, so Bayom, Mitzvah Kol HaYom. Kasher Kol HaYom. I'm sorry, Kol HaYom, Kasher Kol HaYom. Davish HaMitzvah, so Balayla, Kasher Kol HaLayla. And a daytime mitzvah is kasher the whole day, and a nighttime mitzvah is kasher the whole night. Okay? Obviously, the Mishnah Megillah talks about this. Zriza Makdim LaMitzvah. Meaning, if you have a mitzvah opportunity, you should do it right away. Right? The mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. You have the whole day to take the lulav, but take it as early as you can. Zriza Makdim LaMitzvah. But, if you didn't do it in the morning, so you have the whole day to do it. And the same thing true is with the nighttime mitzvah. Meaning, do the ktsira as early in the evening as possible. But really, according to the strict letter of the law, you have the whole night. Okay, that's the Mishnah Megillah. And now the Gemara makes a very simple observation. Ketane Laila Dumya Dayom. Mayomba Laila Lo, after Laila Bayom Nami Lo. Look, daytime and nighttime in that Mishnah Megillah is clearly mutually exclusive. Because their Mishnah over there gave a whole series of mitzvahs that are done during the day. And day means day, not night. Lula, for example. One of the examples that I can remember offhand in the Mishnah Megillah. You can't shake the lulav at night. There's no mitzvah to shake the lulav at night. The mitzvah of lulav is only during the day. Mila is another example that's given that Mishnah and Megillah. Okay, if I remember correctly. Again, same story. It's only during the day, not at night. So, if the Mishnah over there means day excludes night, so you have to assume that night excludes day. And so basically what that Mishnah Megillah is telling us is you can't be kosher during the day. Which means, according to that Mishnah Megillah, that if you fail to do ksira at night, you lost it.
Maybe you wouldn't say that. Maybe you would say night. Because night just sees the day, so the whole day is night and day. But day,
right,
is the next day.
I would say that, but the whole point of that Mishnah over there is to separate the two.
But
okay.
You could sort of swallow that.
Okay. The Gemara is basically forced into a corner. And with no other option, the Gemara is going to basically say the two Mishnayos are arguing one with another. You will remember, all right, I've mentioned this already a couple of times. Go back to Samech Vav. This is the machlokus between the Rishonim, between the Bahag and Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning the Bahag says, if you did not count the night before, right, you didn't count last night. So the Bahag says, okay, so count now. Count during the day. Why? Because the Bahag says, Mishnah Menachos. The Mishnah Menachos says, if you don't do Ksira at night, you can do during the day. So the Bahag says, okay, so if you didn't count at night, you can count during the day. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Mishnah Megillah. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. The Mishnah Megillah says, if you didn't count at night, you can't count the next day. You missed your opportunity. Right? Why? Rabbeinu Tam says, because of the Mishnah Megillah. Mishnah Megillah says that the Ksira is only at night, not during the day. Okay.
So we go by.
Well, we are, nowadays, we tend to be lenient, right? With exception to the Rambam, he's a singular opinion, with exception to him, everyone maintains that Tzfiras HaOmer nowadays is only a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa, so we tend to be lenient, meaning, so,
if you,
yeah, that's right, so if you miss the night, so you have the opportunity to make it up during the day, and you can keep counting with a bracha.
That means that the argument is also true in terms of missing.
Right, according to Rabbeinu Tam, right, if you miss the night, that's it, you're done.
And you're not going back.
Game over. And part of the reason why is because it's the mitzvah nowadays is only Din D'Rabbanan, so we could be a little
more. I'm not talking about Omer, I'm talking the actual offering of the Omer is also has to be.
Right, they're arguing. They're arguing about counting. It's the same argument about the Omer, which, as the Gemara now is pointing out, is really a machlokus between two Mishnayos.
So Rebbe's is accepted then.
Who do we accept in terms of the Omer?
Yeah.
The Rambam is going to go like our Mishnah Menachos, not like the Mishnah Megillah.
Rebbe.
Yeah. So lo kasha ha Rebbe ha Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, it's a machlokas between Mishnayos, and that machlokas really reflects in a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. How do you, let's get an introduction to Tanya. We learned in the Braisa. Haya Omer Makrav Haya Omed. Sorry, Omed. Okay, Omed Umakrav Minchas Omer Venitmes. Okay, you're ready. You're ready to bring the Minchas Omer. So obviously, it's the day of second day of Pesach, 16th day of Nisan, and you become tamei, or the Omer becomes tamei, right? So imi acheres omer lo have acheres tachteha. So if you have a replacement, so fine. So bring the replacement. The imlav, if you can get a replacement. By the way, getting a replacement means going out there and harvesting and, you know, doing it again. The imlav omer lo pikech ushetok. However, if you don't have a replacement, so you say to the kohen, now would be an excellent time not to say anything. Meaning,
keep it to yourself.
Right, just keep it to yourself. Just bring it. Okay, be smart.
Doesn't it cease? I kind of take care of that also. Like,
okay. So wait, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omer Ben Kach Uben Kach, Omer Lo Havet Bekech Ushesok. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says, don't even. There's no option of replacement. This is the Omer. You're going to bring this. It's Tame. Don't tell anybody. It's okay. Just keep it between me and you. Shekola Omer, Sheniksa Shaloki Mitzvasa Apostle. Because according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, what are you going to do? You're going to harvest now? You can't. It's too late. You can't harvest during the daytime. So you hear it? Right? I hear it. So the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon is basically the machlokas between the two Mishnayos. Do you have an option of harvesting during the day? So Rebbe says, well, if we have time to harvest again now, so let's do it. Let's go harvest now. Meaning Rebbe is our Mishnah Menachos. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, who says, we're not going to be able to harvest now. It's not the right time to harvest. Harvesting was last night. We harvested last night. The Omer's Tame. So you know what? Just be quiet. Just bring it.
Is that a Rama?
It's just, you know, it, meaning the right thing to do is to bring it.
Right.
Just don't, right? Just don't talk about it. So Amar Rabba Babachana Rav Yochanan. Okay, good. Good. Perfect. So, I mean, good. So now, more alignment for today. So we have now a Mishnah Menachos, we have a Mishnah Megillah. They're obviously at odds with one another, and the Gemara says, good. So that now is reflective of the Machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, where you have the Omer and it becomes Tameh, and Rebbe says, see if you can get a replacement, because he holds that Ketzir could be done during the day. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says, that's not an option, because you can't do Ketzir now, it's during the daytime. And that, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, is the Mishnah Megillah. Good. Amar Rabba Babachan Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon B'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Shel B'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Shel Aviv Amra. So here's what we'll do. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, we're going to align together with Rabbi Akiva, who happens to be the Rebbe of his father. Right? Right, Rabbi Elazar is the son of Rabbi Shimon, and of those new students of Rabbi Akiva, one of them was Rabbi Shimon. So this morning we introduced ourselves to Rabbi Meir, student of Rabbi Akiva, and now we're introducing ourselves to Rabbi Shimon, student of Rabbi Akiva.
But Rashbi was Akiva's student.
And Rashbi also was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
But he didn't die. He was a student from the
beginning.
He
was a new student,
right?
New batch.
Yeah. Where was he?
No, he was one of the new students. I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Check me up. Yevamos, Samech, Beis.
Because didn't they stop dying on the day?
Okay. Bishitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Shalaviv Amra. Okay, let's. Let's stay with the course. Didnan Chal Amar Rabbi Akiva Kol Malach Hashav Shalasos Meir Shabbos and Adochas Hashabbos. So look, Rabbi Akiva, we know, tried and true, always maintains the following: any malacha that can be done prior to Shabbos must be done before Shabbos, and you have no head to do it on Shabbos itself. So, and it has so many applications in so many areas. The classic example is you have a mitzvah milah to be done on Shabbos, but knife isn't sharp. Rabbi Akiva says, you could have sharpened it before Shabbos. You should have sharpened it before Shabbos. So you know what? You don't have a heter, you can't sharpen it. I know the mitzvah of milah you could do on Shabbos, but anything that could be done before Shabbos, you do not have license or allowance to do it on Shabbos itself. Good. That is Shitas Rabbi Akiva, that's Machshirin. Machshirin is not anything that could have been prepared beforehand, cannot be prepared on Shabbos itself. V'savah like Rabbi Shmuel Damar, Ketziras Omer Mitzvah. And not only that, but he also subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the harvesting of the Omer is a mitzvah. Did not Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ma Charish Rishos, Ketzirishos, Yatze Ketzirah Omer, Shehu Mitzvah. Harvesting the Omer is a mitzvah. Now, so let's put it all together. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva says Machshirin cannot be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says that Kitzira is a mitzvah. If you think Nitzar Shalokit mitzvah so kasher amai dachi Shabbos, Naksare me'erev Shabbos, Ela mididachi Shabbos mamina, Nitzar Shalokit mitzvah so pasul. Perfect. So in other words, you have no right to do Machshirin, right? If it could be done beforehand, it can't be done on Shabbos. We're harvesting the Omer even on Shabbos, meaning the second day of Pesach is falling out on Shabbos. So that means that we're going out there on Friday night and we're harvesting on Friday night. The only conclusion that we must arrive at is that that act of harvesting is a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, so then you should have done it before Shabbos. Shalok a mitzvah puzzle. I'm sorry. Okay, good. So that now takes care of our understanding of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon complies with his father's Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, one more loose end to tie up over here in this discussion. Rebbe lav tamid de Rabbi Shimon hu. So now, Rebbe, right? Now Rebbe was arguing with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rebbe says that you can do katsira at night, and if you don't, you could do katsira even during the day as well. We pointed out that our Mishnah Menachos on Daf Ayin Aleph subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe that you have a makeup day on the day if you didn't do it the night prior. However, we also know that Rebbe was a student of Rebbe Shimon, right? So in our shalshelet, in our chain of tradition, it goes Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe. Okay, so Rebbe's only two generations after Rebbe Akiva. Okay, problem now, of course, is that we put Rebbe Elazar like his father, like Rebbe Akiva. But Rebbe was a student of Rebbe Shimon as well. First of all, how do we know that? Tanya, I'm a Rebbe Kishayinu, Lamedim Torah Eitzel Rebbe Shimon B'Tkoa. So we learned Torah together with Rebbe Shimon. This is Rebbe reporting. With Rebbe Shimon in the town of Tekoa, right? Curious to know whether or not that's the same Tekoa that we know, that we have nowadays. Tekoa is a town in the mountains of Hebron, right? 5 years ago, a terrible tragedy in Tekoa. Hainu, Malin lo shemen va'alontis mechatzo legagu megag lekarfif umikarfif lekarfif lekarfif acher achanu magin lama'ayan chanu rochsin bo. And what we would do is we would bring oil and a towel from the courtyard to the roof, from the roof to the karfif, which is another enclosed area, from one karfif to another karfif, until we got to the ma'ayan, until we got to the wellspring, where we were going to bathe in the wellspring. Now, I'll tell you what, there's a lot to explain over here in terms of Erevin and Chatzah and Rishus Echad, even without an Erev. With permission, I'm not going to give a full explanation over here. Just know that in order to do that, to be able to carry from one chatzer to another without an Eruv, you have to subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, which is that it's all considered Rishus Echad, even without an Eruv. Okay. The whole point that we're establishing over here is that Rebbe's a student of Rabbi Shimon. Okay? Just now. So, if that's true, So how does all this work? Meaning, if Rebbe's a student of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon's subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva, how can you do Katsira during the day? How does that work? So, Savalakidach, the Rabbi Shimon, the Tanyam, Rabbi Shimon, Barre, Kama Chaviva, Mitzvah, Vishai, Tashare, Hector, Chalam, the Evarim, Ksherim, Kol Alayla, Velo Yamantim, Lahem, Ashetachshach. So, the Gemara says, what we'll do is that we will take, take Rebbe and put him together with another statement of Rebbe Shimon. And Rebbe Shimon says, Mitzvah B'Shaita. Meaning, look, if you do mitzvah at the right time, there's a value to that, an unbelievable value to that. How do I know that? Because you shecht an animal on Shabbos. So you had license to do that. Meaning it's a carbon tamid, it's a mosaf of Shabbos. When do you burn the fats and the limbs? So you could wait until the night. You could. Right? Burning of fats and limbs can be done the night. However, we wouldn't wait. Right? The limbs of the tamid and the mosaf, we wouldn't wait until the night, but rather we burn them on Shabbos. Okay? Burning on Shabbos is a malacha. Mitzvah b'shaita, doing a mitzvah at its appropriate time. So the Gemara says, "V'layimamtim la'an achetachshach." Sorry, turn page. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, lo shmi'alei. So, what about Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon? He doesn't subscribe to this view of mitzvah b'shaita. Ela shani aslam sharei dach tashchitas asa Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is not bothered at all. Meaning, of course I subscribe to the rule of mitzvah b'shaita. But let's remind each other. You shechted the animal already. You were given allowance to shecht the animal. This is just a hamshacha. This is just a continuation. If I shechted the carbon on Shabbos, I'm going to burn the limbs. It's part and parcel of the heter, of bringing the carbon. But over here, though, failure to cut and harvest the night prior, that's it. You lost your opportunity. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? You backed us up into a corner. And you know what? I will tell you that according to Rebbe, the harvesting of the Omer is not Dochas HaShabbos. Meaning, you know what? You're right. Rebbe's a student to Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon's a student to Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva says that if you could do it beforehand, do it beforehand. And so you know what?
We had a whole ceremony where they did on Shabbat and they announced it for the...
The Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says... The Gemara is going to ask exactly a question. I'm sorry, the Rabbi. As Ella Kesav Rabbi Ksir Sama Lo Dach Keshabbos. The law of the Hatanan. The Chachamim Amrim Echad Shabbos Vechachol Mishol Shayaba. So the Gemara says, what about the first mission of the sixth parak that we learned together? Gemara answers so simply, the Loka Rabbi. Okay. Leave Rebbe out of that Mishnah. Rebbe doesn't subscribe to that Mishnah. V'chachamim omrim echad Shabbos v'echad chol v'shlosha v'shalosh kupos v'shalosh magalos. What about the continuation of the Mishnah? Again, the Gemara says the Loka Rebbe. It's also not going like Rebbe. U'v'shabbos yomar lahem Shabbos zu. What about the fact that the Mishnah says, what about this Shabbos? Once again, the Loka Rebbe. Okay, that's not going to go like Rebbe as well. Okay, good. A little bit left over before we finish the parak, but essentially... The Gemara, look, it's funny, you watch the Gemara maneuver and you know, sometimes you get to the strangest conclusions, but Rebbe's Rebbe is Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Shimon's Rebbe is Rebbe Akiva. The assumption is they all subscribe to the idea that Machshirin, if you could do it before Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos, right? Tzirasa Omer, even though we love mitzvah b'shaita, but that doesn't apply over here. That principle doesn't apply over here. So, and the harvesting of the omer is simply a machshir. It's not dochas haShabbos. So Rebbe says that you harvest before Shabbos. Meaning, if the omer comes out on a Shabbos, you got to harvest beforehand. You don't have the right to bring it on Shabbos, to harvest it on Shabbos itself. All the Mishnahs that we learned in the sixth parak, the Loka Rebbe, are not going like Rebbe.
You would prescribe that you could actually do the harvesting on the first day of Pesach?
Yeah, how do you do that?
You do it before, the day before, 14th
that
day.
That was after, the day after you can do this still.
No, he would harvest it before Yom Tov.
Before.
Yeah. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll finish up the parak. Tomorrow we'll start the seventh parak. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.